Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
That's a week, amen. We all say?
Amen.
There you go, amen. Hey, go to your two places in the Word of God, two places. We're not going to move a whole lot today. We're going to be in Old Testament, New Testament, but we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and also we're going to be in Matthew 18, a little bit of Mark, but they're right next to each other. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, and also Matthew 18. If you want to mark it, if you have it in your iPad, iPhone, whatever it is, we're love technology here. But, you know, when I was thinking about last year and praying through what God would always do for me, hey, what are you setting me up for this year, Lord? I always run into people, not just at the end of the year, but around the year, I always run into people who have had either trouble or have regressed in their walk with Christ. They've regressed in their advancement in their spiritual life. They regress in the things they're doing because things didn't line up the way they wanted them. And so people all of a sudden just start kind of backing off and they don't want to make as much of an investment in certain things because things didn't work out. And all of us have things that we planned for last year that we didn't expect to happen this year. Nobody started 2018 saying, hey, by the time the year ends, I want to be divorced. You know, by the time the year ends, I want to lose my business. Nobody says that. We all want to be successful, yes or no? We all want to be absolutely on the up and go. But sometimes things happen in our life that can derail us from the things God wants for us. But we have to keep our focus in the Lord. And beginning this year, I want to encourage you the way God encouraged me with one phrase he gave me. He said, if nothing happens the way you want it, would you serve me anyways? Can you serve him anyways if nothing lines up the way you planned it? Would you serve him anyways if things don't add up the way you believe they should add up? Would you serve him anyways if things don't line up the way you calculated in your mind wanting a desired outcome? Would you serve him? And this is so important for us to have in mind because in Christianity today, really in our society today, if things don't line up the way we want, we walk away. That's why we don't do cable contracts or phone contracts, because if we're unhappy with this guy, we go to the next guy. But we cannot treat God, his church, or his word that way. Would you serve him anyways? There's a lady in our Spanish service that really just has impressed me so much. She is returning to the Lord after being away for a few years. And one day, she came home and found her 27-year-old son had passed away suddenly. So no parent plans for that. So we went through the process. We did the service. And the day I called her that week when her son died, she told me something so incredible. She said, Pastor, thank you so much for calling me. Every person I've talked to from the church has encouraged me. When you guys talk to me about God and the Word, I'm encouraged. And then she says, and I will be there Sunday. I was like, wow. I wanted to tell, no, get a break from church. Stay home, you know, get better. No. I will be there Sunday. And she's been here every Sunday since we buried her son. Because in her mind, she said, I didn't plan for this. I don't want to bury my boy, but I'm going to serve him anyways. I'm going to make an investment in God anyways. And there's something that happens in the heart of people and of God. And the question God posed to me is this. Can you imagine what God can do with people that refuse to give up on him? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God can do in your life, in your situation, if all you do is say, I am hanging on with you, Jesus, no matter what. I'm moving forward in that area of my life. And today I want to encourage you with that you can start the year by saying, you know what? I have some plans, and you should. I have some desires. Why not? Put them before the Lord. He's able to do greater things than you can imagine. That's what his word says. So I want to believe that. But it's when the year ends, things don't line up, or in the middle of the years, things are not lining up. I want to continue to serve and minister to the Lord. And the Lord brought this word to me in the weirdest way with a story that when I read it, I was like, oh, that's cute. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, there's something there. And I want to share just what God gave me for us to learn and grow together. Can we do that tonight? There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know the name of the prophet. The book is the name of the prophet is Samuel. But the story of his mom and dad and him is very interesting. Hannah just his mom, and Elkanah, which is his dad. Hannah was a woman that wanted child. She couldn't bear a child. She couldn't get pregnant by her husband. But as a tradition, Jewish tradition, they would go to the temple and bring an offering yearly. They would bring the offering as a family yearly. And every year, she did the same thing. She would go up every year and do one prayer. Lord, I want a child. And laid out her offering. Every year, she would go up with her husband. Lord, I want a child. Every year she would do this. One year, the word of God says, the one year she went up and sat in the back of the church and was praying to herself. And the priest that was there, Eli, saw this lady in an empty, somewhat church empty, sitting in the back, talking to herself. And the Bible says that he thought she was drunk and says to her, hey, lady, don't come drunk to the church. What are you doing? Have some respect. And the lady, Hannah, could have said, well, what do you think you're doing? I'm leaving this church. You're offending me. She could have done a bunch of things. She said, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm just bringing my plea unto the Lord. I'm just bringing my burden to God. And Eli, this is so important. Why Pastor Jim has taught us and Pastor Jim to bless you guys at the end of every service. I believe in the pastoral blessing and the blessing of the ministers. Now listen to this. That high priest says, then in that case, may the Lord give you what you've prayed for. And the word of God says that she went up to her home and that night she got pregnant. I'm adding that night, but around there. You got to flavor some things, you know. But the word of God says that she got pregnant. And this child, she said, Lord, if you give me this dream of mine, I am going to give it back to you. Well, the Lord heard it. Let me tell you, don't be telling the Lord what you're going to do when he gives you stuff. Because you better do it. A lot of people, Lord, if you give me a good job, I'm going to be here, I'm going to prosper, and I'm going to bless people, and then you're too busy to be in church, you like your money too much to prosper anyone else but you. I mean, you get what I'm saying? So watch, because you have to deliver on that. She did. The Bible records that Hannah, when the boy was old enough to be on his own, she took him to the temple and handed him over to Eli. Wow. Now, dads probably don't relate as much, but any woman here understands. You are having such a hard time getting pregnant. You finally get the one child you want, and now you have to hand him over. And that is what makes this story so amazing. Here's what it says, 1 Samuel 2. We pick it up a few years later into their process. Every year, Hannah and Elkanah go up to bring their offering. 1 Samuel 2, 18, 21. We're going to read all four verses, and then we'll go back and explain those things that God has for us today. But Samuel, minister, you can highlight that, and we'll see it in a minute. Minister before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Verse 19, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe. I love the Bible being descriptive because this is important to note. A little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 20, and Eli would bless. Oh, I love the blessing. Would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan or the gift. In another version, for the loan that was given to the Lord, then they would go under home. Now watch this, verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Let me tell you people, something so important. You cannot wait till everything lines up in order to serve and minister to God. You cannot wait for that. You cannot wait till the right job in order to serve the Lord. You cannot wait for certain conditions. You just have to minister to the Lord in the condition you're in today. Whatever place you're in, you have to serve him anyways. Because if you do that, God gets involved with people that do that. People who still connect with the Lord in every area of their life. And this is so, so important. I want to encourage you. I want you to get this encouragement. Don't back down no matter the situation you're going through right now. Don't back down. You can ask every pastor, every minister here. We know people, as soon as they start backing down, then we see them no more. And we see them as sporadic. Not just church attendance, just their connection with God in general. And this is so important because God wants to bless you, but he wants you to get two key concepts tonight that I want you to get. Here's the first one. Placement does not determine service. Placement does not determine service. Let me explain. We tend to wait until we get to the right place in order to do certain things. And I remember being a young man and somebody told me this. Says, if you want a certain job or certain position, begin to do that today before you get there. And I remember my pastor from Dominican Republic, where I'm from, told me one day, and he said, listen, those of you guys who want ministry, and at the time I didn't want ministry, but I remember what he said. He said, if you think that when you become a minister, you'll have more time to pray and read the Bible, you don't. You don't. I was like, really? I thought that's all you did. Right? I mean, that's all we think. And he said, nah, when you get there. And so I began as a young boy to try to develop that discipline. Till this is an adult, we still have to fight through it, make the time to pray, make the time to read your word, make the time even with us in ministry, okay? So it's not a perfect world, but we didn't wait to get to a certain place in order to start doing those things. Are you with me today? So it's very important for you to create those things. I remember I wanted to be in the high school basketball team, and I was a decent player, but I was no good, you know, not nothing to talk about. But I remember that for me to get on that team, I still needed to improve. And I spent all summer. I didn't have a coach. I had no money for a coach, but somebody found me a basketball, which is cheap to get. So that's what I had. And I remember every morning, wake up, eat breakfast, talk to my buddies in the neighborhood, and go hit the court. And I would shoot all morning long and then do something else. I had a desire, but I didn't wait till somebody said, hey, you're going to be on my team, and then start making shots. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying? So we tend to wait for placement to come along before we begin to serve. Oh, if you make me this, then I'll do that in return. No. In God, God loves to see people already going in order to encourage them. This is so important. There's a leadership principle that says, I'd rather push a car that is moving than move a car that's parked. And if you've never pushed a car, you've had some nice cars. But if you had a battery died or anything like that, and you got to push one, man. And if you ever driven stick shift, that was awesome. Kick it in second, and then it goes. People have automatic cars, have no idea what that is. Most of the men are like, yeah, I've been there. And so for all of us, it is that process of just getting going. I want you to see something. This is so incredible. Look at this. Verse 18, 1 Samuel, verse 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. That word minister is also the word serve in Hebrew. They're equivalent. So we're saying, oh, I'm ministering to God. You're also serving the Lord. And service is ministry unto God. Ministry unto God, services, not just doing, being who you are, helping someone else. That is service. That is ministry unto the Lord. It says that Samuel ministered before the who? I want you to notice that. Here's the next one. Even as a... Wait, you mean Samuel didn't go to Bible college to wait to serve? No, I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I went to Bible college. My wife went. We love Bible college. But you can't wait for that in order to get involved in service, in order to minister to the Lord. Can't wait for that. Oh, you mean, Pastor, I have to have a certain level? No. You got to get involved. Everyone that's here that at some point got involved, including every person that you see in ministry, they got involved in some capacity. And I believe that. You have to get involved. You have to discover that what happens is people are waiting. Listen to this. People are waiting for the calling of God before they do something. I'm going to tell you, most people that I know discover the calling of God doing something, ministering. So here Samuel says that even as a child, he was, watch this, wearing a linen ephod. No kid needed to be dressed as a priest, but he was. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the vision and the calling in his heart was greater than his physical condition. And for many people, they're waiting their physical condition to develop in order to let their gifting out. Samuel was already serving as a priest, even as a child, because there was something in him. So don't wait for placement to become perfect before you let out that which God is already developing in your heart and in your soul. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let it out. And this is so incredible because he wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't supposed to be serving in that capacity. But the Bible clearly says he was a child. In another version, he was a younger youth, meaning he was probably younger than 15 years old. Probably younger than 15 years old, already serving in the temple as a priest. Now look at verse 19 says, moreover, so there's more to this. Moreover, his mother used to make him a, what does it say there? A little robe. Little robe. Now, that word, little robe, represents a garment that the priest would wear on top of the wearing. So here's what Hannah's doing. Hannah's saying, I know my boy's small, but I'm going to dress him about the calling he has on his life. He was dressing as a priest already. And a lot of people are waiting for some kind of placement in life before they start acting, doing, and being that which God called them to do. Don't wait. Don't wait. Placement doesn't wait for service. Start doing that which God has put in your heart and let it be active in your life. Are you with me today? This is so important. He was small. And like every mom, I was sharing this with other people in La Roca. I don't know if that happened to you, but does your mom as an adult still try to buy you underwear? That only happens with mama boys, right? And moms, mom, I'm good. I'm a grown man. I have my own kids. I don't need your underwears. Said that she would bring him a robe. She would make him close. She wanted to connect with him. Every year she would do that. She'd come up. I love that because Hannah was identifying his calling. Jesus says it this way, Matthew 18. Jesus, talking about service, he makes this amazing correlation and connection to a childlike behavior in us in order to serve. Look at this, Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? For whatever reason, most kids don't tend to do that. They like to play, they do things. But as an adult, we want to find out where is our position in life. Where do we rank? We love ranking in this country and everything. We rank teams, we rank all kinds of stuff. Everything is ranked. Restaurants get ranked. Most of us don't go to a restaurant unless we read the Yelp review. Are you with me? I've had some good food on a 2-star Yelp review. So I don't follow no Yelp review anymore. I just ask my buddy, if they like it, I like it. So in a lot of ways, this is what's happening here. Jesus is like, why are you guys trying to figure out who's the greatest thing? Verse number two. Then Jesus called, watch this, a little child to him. Wait. If you're going to rank something, you got to compare with an equal. Right? Like you don't rank different sports. You rank everything in the same. Oranges to oranges, apples to apples. Jesus says, who is it? The disciples, who's the greatest servant? Let me have that kid. Hey, kid, come here. He's about to make a comparison, very profound, that we've lost in our culture in a lot of ways. Jesus says, call the child, sets him in the midst of them, between all the big kahunas and disciples, and said, assuredly, which means truth. I'm telling you the truth. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are, watch the three purposes that a child reflects. Unless you are converted or turned away from sin and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Wait, the question was, who's the most important person? And Jesus says, hold the phone. If you, disciples, are trying to figure out who's the most important, if you don't even act or think like a kid about the things of God, you can't make it into the kingdom of God. He's not saying be childish. He's saying think like a child thinks. They just believe. They just trust. They're open to new ideas. They see God with different eyes. This is so crucial for us to understand. This is so amazing. Look at the second thing. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus said, this kid who doesn't know me came to me and trusted me and humbled himself to be in front of you guys. He is the greatest in the kingdom. So he's asking the same of us. You want to do something great? Then you have to think like a child in many ways. I'm not saying be gullible, but I'm saying don't be suspicious about everything. I'm not saying you have to think evil around the corner. You have to think peace and the protection of God around your life. Are you with me? I think we've become so jaded in our culture today. Words offend really easy. Actions offend really easy. Children are just, they just kind of move on. Something happens and then go on to the next thing. Maybe you forgot when you were a child, but I remember, and girls probably don't do this as much, but guys do. I remember getting into a fight with my buddy, and then 2 hours later, we're playing hide and seek like nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever happened. And we have adults getting to a beef and they don't talk to each other for months. And Jesus says, hey, in the kingdom, humble thyself, think like a child, solve the issue. Are you with me today? Verse 5, here's the third thing about the kingdom, that when you don't think of placement, but you believe in service, here's what God does. Whoever receives one little child like this, in my name receives me. So Jesus is saying, if you receive somebody with childlike faith and behavior, you're receiving Jesus. You're seeing Jesus through them in a way that's amazing. And I love that. I think it's infectious when you talk to people that way. You know, sometimes people who believe everything of an amazing faith, you might call them annoying. Because they always say yes about everything. They're positive about everything. You're like, can you be negative like one thing? Like, but sometimes kids are just like, oh yeah, that's awesome, right? Like you as a kid, every kid in this place had more fun with the box than with the toy on their first few Christmas. Yes or no? Right? Like this, we have a video of our daughter when we got her first kitchen. And I spent hours with my older son putting this thing together. She had a blast with the box. Like it was just, she was in it. I'm thinking, putting this thing together, this is ridiculous, right? And she played with the thing like for a little bit, but the box was it. Right? How about we take that same attitude of faith and say, I'm not waiting for God to give me the gift. I'm having fun just where he placed me. I'm having fun just with the wrapping of what he's going to give me. Are you with me today? And so start having fun and don't wait for placement to come into your life and say, when I get there, I will do. Jesus is saying, don't wait to get there. You see this kid? He came to me. He received the kingdom. He's humble to do that. And when you receive him, you're seeing somebody in a childlike faith. And that was Samuel. Samuel had that idea. Samuel served the Lord as a child, even though the vision in Samuel was greater than his physical condition. Greater. And so is yours. You have dreams and visions in your own heart that are greater than the things around you. Don't push them down. Just let them out in whatever condition you're in and start building upon that. Are you with me today? Here's the second thought I want you to have in your heart and in your mind. Serve God with what you have, but do it in faith. Serve God with what you have, but do it in faith. When you do that, something incredible happens. You might have heard the testimony, but last year we were in Mexico. We do our spring break trip with our young adults, and last spring we built a house in Ensenada. And so when we were there, we built this house, and we didn't know the family. This ministry selects the family. We raise the funds from here, and then we go there with the guys and build it. And it was an excellent project and fun, but at the end, we do a ceremony to give them the keys of their new home and pray for them and bless them. So we allow the family to share. We're all sharing. Everybody's crying and just really emotional because this family, literally, they slept in their car with their two kids, husband, wife, and the mother-in-law, one of the moms was in their van so no one would take their land. I mean, they were protecting their land, the material. They just gave so much. And at the end, this lady says, I'm translating, she says, when I was a young girl in my church, I used to help teams like you build these houses. And I built these houses for other people. And today, God gave me mine. There wasn't a dry eye in that place. We're like, oh my God, Jesus, you're so good. Right, we're all bawling. Here's what she did. She just served the Lord. She didn't plan it. One day, a team from the States is going to buy me a house and build it. She didn't plan that. She just did that. She just served the Lord. She just gave out of her heart. She would help other teams build someone else's home. And then one day God says, hey, yours is on its way. Just like Hannah. She just served the Lord, and the Lord says, your baby's on its way too. Your baby's on its way too. And for many of us, we're waiting for the dream to manifest before we celebrate it. I'm telling you, give them what you have in faith and let the Lord build the return in every area of your life and in every capacity, because he will definitely do that in a greater way. Here's a teaching the Lord has for us in Mark chapter 6. It's in several areas of the gospel. You know this as the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. There's another feeding of 4,000. So Jesus did this twice. And so, in this particular feeding, you know, the disciples are figuring out what to do and how to do it. And Jesus teaches us a principle that we should apply in every area of our life. Not just when we need a big miracle, but every area of our life. And this is so amazing because look what he does. They bring him very little to feed multitudes, right? It's not enough. And all of us can say, Pastor, I don't have enough. I don't have enough position in my job, enough time in my job, enough money in my bank account, enough health to push through this situation. We can all say there's an area of our life we don't have enough. We just don't. But look what happens here. It says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked upward to heaven, and did what? He blessed them. You know what happens a lot of times? That what we have, we curse it. We just talk bad about it. We're frustrated with it. We just say all kinds of stuff. Jesus didn't do that. He looked at the little bit. He looked at all the people and said, man, we're stuck. We're in a pinch. He just said, Here you go, Father. And he blessed them. Then breaking, because it's not just a blessing, then breaking the loaves into pieces, and he kept hoarding it. He kept what? Giving. He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. Continue. Next verse. Verse 42. They all ate as much as they wanted. Can you read that verse with me? 1, 2, 3. They all ate as much as they wanted. Church, there is no lack in God. And you need to get that in your soul. Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea. I'm paycheck to paycheck. I am telling you, even if in that condition, there's no lack in Jesus. There's no lack in Jesus. Now, are there scary moments? For sure. For sure. Like what's going to happen? Like, those moments are there. But there's no lack in him. And you have to get that in your heart and say, God, I'm just going to bless what you've put in my hand. I'm just going to do with what I can. I'm going to show up and let you do that principle. And this principle is a principle that Hannah and Elkanah live in. The principle is this: what you give to God in faith produces a great blessing. What you give to God in faith produces a great blessing. I want to end the story of these two amazing people. 1 Samuel 2, 20 and 21 says this: and Eli, this was the priest, would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. My friends, the blessing is so powerful. Blessing what you have, receiving the blessing. Every time our pastors pray for us, I believe that what they're speaking over us is truth, because I need that blessing in my life. Are you with me? And so, hey, I'm going to receive it. This is powerful. Speaking the blessing is so powerful, so biblical. And says that Eli, every year, would tell him the same thing. May the Lord bless you because you gave that one son. Here was amazing. She gave that one son before she knew she would get more. Didn't like that one, huh? Because in God, there's a level of risk that we all have to take. And a lot of times, we want everything to line up perfectly. But if everything doesn't line up, would you serve him anyways? Hannah did. I got one kid that I prayed. 1 year, didn't get it. 2 years, didn't get it. 3 years, didn't get it. 4 years, didn't get it. 5 years, didn't get it. 6 years, didn't get it. Finally, I got it. He's with me 1 year. He's with me 2 years. He's with me 3 years. He's with me 4 years. He's with me 5 years. And then he's no longer with me. And she still gave it to the Lord. Because anything giving to God in faith produces a great blessing. in every area of our life, in every area, says blessing. Verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah. Can you say, visit me, Jesus? And the Lord visited Hannah. I need Jesus to visit me in every area of my life, and you want that too. You want him to bless every single area of her life. The Lord visited Hannah and visited Hannah in a wonderful, wonderful way so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, look what happened. The child Samuel, still a great man of God, grew before the Lord. You know what's crazy when I was studying this? Five is the number of grace in the Bible. Five is the number of grace. And God deposited grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it upon her life, when she gave the one thing she had. Grace came upon her in an amazing way. Let me tell you something. Hebrews 6:10, and I'll end with this, tells you what the Lord thinks of you when you decide to serve him anyways. 6:10 in the CEV version says, God is always fair. God is always fair. Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. I don't think he's fair because I was innocent and I still got fired from the job. God is always fair. He's going to do something on your behalf. He's going to do something on your behalf because he's always fair. He's going to do something. Watch him. Because God is always fair. He will remember how you helped his people in the past and how you are still helping them right now. He's saying, you still involved? I'm fair. Now watch this. You belong to who? To God. Not only is God fair, you belong to God. You're his property. He takes care of you. He wants to be involved in your life. You belong to God, and he won't forget. God won't forget like your boss forgot. God won't forget like your neighbor forgot. God won't forget like a family member forgot. He won't. He always remembers, and he always pays forward absolutely everything. He won't forget the love that you have shown to his people. And I don't know if I've shared it here before, but if I have, just bear with me. My mother, she's having a lot of health issues now in her years as she got older, and just started rapidly kind of having a lot of, her body's deteriorating faster than you know, my sister and I saw it. But sorry if I get a little emotional with this, because God is so good. And this is why this message is so important for my own life. If anything, it's for my own life. My mother served God. Her husband died. She became a widow. And she made one prayer, which she never told me, but she told my wife this, and I learned it from my wife. And she told her, she said, I'm not going to remarry if you help me raise my kids in the Lord. And both my sister and I have served God all of our life. All of our life. And as my mother gets sick, she was living with me here in the States because she's a resident alien and not nationalized here in the U.S. We didn't have money to maintain all these insurances. But she has insurance in her country. So, Mom, go back to the Dominican Republic. You know, you have great insurance there, and so we'll work from there. And as she went back, she needed a lot of treatment. Like, in this, it would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of treatment. Now, listen, this is why it's so important. When my mother would pray every morning, she discipled so many young men. So many young men, for whatever reason, saw as their mom, and they would come over to our apartment, tiny apartment, in a subdivision of the Dominican Republic, and they would come over and they would pray with her. All these guys turned out to be, there's a neurosurgeon, there's one of the greatest cardiologists in the Dominican Republic. These guys all turned out to be amazing professionals. You know what happened? Every one of those guys is taking care of my mom and giving the best healthcare a human being can get because she served them. Every one of those guys. I remember going there thinking, man, I'm so stressed out. I got to pay for all this stuff. I got to do this. And they were like, don't worry. She was our mom too. She was our mom too. And this is why I tell people, you got to serve him anyways. Because you don't know how God figures things out, because he doesn't forget absolutely anything that you've ever done in your life on behalf of his people and for the things that he did for you. So if anything in 2019, I want you to do something. I want you to serve him anyways. No matter what happened, no matter how things lined up, don't back away. Don't regress. Don't go back. Just say, Lord, it's not the way I want it, but I'm going to serve you anyways, because you won't forget and you'll make it work on the end, because God is fair in everything he does. If he spoke to you, give him a hand, because he's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.